Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, for this Bible study, we're going to be talking about the rapture and the second coming of Christ and comparing the difference between the two. Now, a lot of people believe that the rapture is the second coming of Christ, and we're going to show you tonight this is not so. Here at Grace Bible Study, we teach that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation period, and then at the second coming of Christ, that's a different resurrection for the children of Israel. So what we're going to do, we're going to get started into the scripture. Now watch, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 13 it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, the Bible says them that are asleep. It's talking about them that are dead in Christ. Let's go on. Verse 14. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now I want you to notice these are words of comfort. It talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In other words, there's going to be some people out there that go up and meet the Lord, okay? Now, the children of Israel were promised an earthly resurrection. They'll be resurrected to the earth. Now, so what I'm going to do is try to compare the two for you. Now, what we're going to do, now I've gave you some scripture here on the rapture, but what now I'm going to do is talk to you about a different resurrection, a resurrection of the children of Israel. Now, I want you to go to I'll tell you what, let's go to Luke. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, I'm going to read you a parable starting in verse 19. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou wast in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So what we have here is we have the Lord. This is not a parable here. This is talking about the rich man that died and Lazarus that died. And Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom, which is in the heart of the earth. Okay? I want you to notice, and I'll tell you what, let's go to Matthew chapter 12, and we'll come back to Luke 16. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, notice in verse 39, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So what we have here is we have scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to go into the heart of the earth. And the Bible says he went into paradise. Now I want you to go back to the book of Luke. Now if you remember, the teaching about the crucifixion, and there were some people hanging on the side of the cross there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to go to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read about them, those people, all right? Verse 39, it says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now we know when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he descended into the heart of the earth, okay? And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So we know that he went into Abraham's bosom there, and the Bible says he preached to the saints there. Now, we also know that these people, the children of Israel, are going to have a resurrection that they were promised. Let's see when their resurrection will be, okay? Now, I want you to go to the book of John. I want you to go to John. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, I want you to notice in verse 39. "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." All right, when are they going to be raised again? They will be raised at the last day. All right, notice in verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Notice in verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 54. "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So what we have is we have scripture, and this was common knowledge among the Jews that there was going to be a resurrection at the last day. All right, so I want you to go to John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, what we had was another man named Lazarus. It was the brother of Mary and Martha, and Jesus went there to raise him from the dead. Now I want you to go to verse 18. "Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again." Now notice what she says in verse 24. "Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." All right? So this was common knowledge among the Jews that there was going to be a resurrection at the last day. This is when the people in Abraham's bosom, okay, will be resurrected. They'll be resurrected back to the earth, but it's not going to happen until the last day, okay? So what we have here is a scripture that telling us when they're going to be resurrected. Now, there's a teaching been going around that when Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, all those people in Abraham's bosom ascended up into heaven with him. Well, that's not true. The Bible says here they'll be resurrected at the last day. They weren't resurrected when Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter and the 12 have received the Holy Spirit. So Peter is full of the Holy Ghost. Notice in verse 29, Acts chapter 2, verse 29, it says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Now watch verse 34. Watch it up here on the screen. It says, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith to himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. All right, so what we have is, we have Scripture telling us. Peter is full of the Holy Ghost, and he's telling the people, he says, David is not ascended into the heavens. So David was down in Abraham's bosom with the rest of Abraham's children, all right? And if David is not ascended into the heavens, well, neither is anybody else, okay? They are still there. They did not ascend up into heaven as a lot of people think. So what we have here is we have Scripture that they're going to be resurrected at the last day, and they have not ascended up into heaven yet. So this is a resurrection that we're going to compare with the rapture. This is not the rapture that we're talking about right here, okay? This is at the second coming of Christ. This is when the people in Abraham's bosom will be resurrected. Now, let's go on. Now, the rapture was a mystery, all right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the rapture or the changing of our bodies. And I want you to notice that this was a mystery, okay? Now, the resurrection that Jesus was talking about, the one at the last day, that was common knowledge among the Jews. That was not a mystery, okay? But the rapture is a mystery. Watch, let's go on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice in verse 51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what we have here is we have Scripture, Paul telling us about a mystery. Okay, this mystery deals with us being, our bodies being changed and being taken up. Okay, now I want you to go to, let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. All right, Philippians chapter 3, notice in verse 20 it says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Okay? So what we have is more Scripture about our vile bodies being fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now, this thing called the rapture, it's also called the redemption of our bodies, which is called the adoption. Okay? Now, I want you to go to, I tell you what, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, all right, Paul tells us about us receiving the spirit of adoption, all right, and I want you to notice in verse 23 it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay, so what Paul is saying here is that he's still waiting for the redemption of his body. The redemption of our bodies haven't taken place yet. The redemption of our bodies take place at the rapture, okay, which is called right here the adoption. All right, it says last part of the verse, it says waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay, so when the rapture takes place, it's a common term people use for the catching away, the word rapture. Okay, but when the rapture takes place, that is the adoption. That is when we receive the redemption of our bodies. All right, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, all right, I want you to notice, let's start in verse 11, okay? In verse 11, let's see, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." So what we have here is we have received the Holy Spirit. All right, the Bible says the Spirit of adoption, and it is the earnest of our inheritance. It is the down payment of our inheritance that we're going to receive, all right, until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is our bodies, okay? The Bible says we were bought with a price. God paid for us with the shed blood of his precious Son. So what we have here is something called the redemption of our bodies. All right. Now, we know for a fact that the children of Israel are not going to be resurrected until the second coming of Christ. Okay. This is called the first resurrection in the book of Revelation. In fact, I tell you what, let's go there. Revelation chapter 20. All right. In Revelation chapter 20, I want you to notice in okay, the Lord comes back. Verse 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and for which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So at the beginning of the 1,000-year reigns, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, there's going to be a resurrection of the children of Israel, and this is called the first resurrection. But something else is going to happen. I want you to notice in Zechariah chapter 14. Let's go to Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 14, I want you to notice the scripture here, all right? It's talking about the second coming of Christ. Notice in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 5, it says, "And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." So what we have here is we have scripture telling us that the Lord is going to come back with his saints, okay? But we have scripture telling us these people are, there's going to be some people, the children of Israel, not going to be resurrected until the Lord comes back, okay? So who are these people that are going to come back with the Lord? Well, I'm telling you now, it is what we've been talking about over the last few studies. It's called the one new man. It's called the church, the body of Christ, okay? It is something completely different from the new covenant church that Jesus started in Acts chapter 2 or so. The one new man is something completely different, which we talked about, where God has joined Jew and Gentile together in one body. And this one new man is sealed unto the day of redemption. It has a lot of unique characters about it, okay? And one thing about the one new man, it will be raptured out of here, okay? Now, I want you to notice in, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice in verse 12 it says, Paul's talking, he says, "And the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." All right? So once again, we have scripture. This matches Zechariah. Paul is telling us that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back from heaven, he is going to come with his saints. Okay? So we know in order for the saints to come back with the Lord, they have to get up there somehow to start off with. Now, we've already showed you where David and those people in Abraham's bosom, the children of Israel, they have not ascended into heaven. Okay? They're still in the heart of the earth. We showed you scripture where Jesus Christ says that the people that believe on him, talking about the children of Israel, okay, they'll be resurrected at the last day. All right? So they're not going to even get resurrected until Jesus Christ comes back. So who are these people that are called saints that are going to be up in heaven with the Lord and they're going to come back down here with the Lord? Well, it's the church, the body of Christ, and I'm going to show you how they're going to get up there. Now watch. Let's go on. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right. Notice in verse 1. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Okay? Now I want you to notice here in chapter 2, verse 1, he's talking about two separate events. Okay? He calls it, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's obviously the second coming of Christ. He says, and by our gathering together unto him. All right, so we have the gathering together unto him, which is one event, and then the second coming of Christ, which is the other event. So we're talking about two events here. All right. Now, a lot of people believe that the body of Christ is going through the tribulation period, and they believe the second coming of Christ and the rapture is the same event. Well, they don't see it that way. Okay, they can't see two events here. But watch, let me show you. It's verse 2. "That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Okay? So I want you to understand that the day of Christ, the second coming of Christ, is not going to happen until the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, the Antichrist is going to be revealed before, all right, the second coming of Christ. Let's go on, verse 4. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God," or that is worship, "so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." All right, so what we have here is we have scripture telling us that the something called he is going to be taken out of the way, and then that wicked is going to be revealed, all right, that son of perdition. And then we notice that after the son of perdition is revealed, then the second coming of Christ, or the day of Christ, or the coming of Christ happens, okay? So here we have in our order, we have he is taken out of the way, then we have the son of perdition is revealed, and then we have the second coming of Christ, all right? Now, a lot of people say that he, oh, well, that's the Holy Spirit taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's not going to be taken out of the way, people. During the tribulation period, the Holy Spirit's going to be poured upon the children of Israel. The Holy Spirit's not going to be taken out of the way. That's not what it's talking about, okay? The he here is the one new man. It is the church, the body of Christ, that's going to be taken out of here, and we'll prove it to you in just a moment. Now, I want you to look on the screen here. I want to show you a chart real quick. All right, now the chart you're looking at, it's an animation actually, all right, it shows here that we have the church, okay, the New Covenant church in Daniel's 70 weeks. Now what we're going to have here, it's going to be split up, and what you'll do, you'll see the dispensation of grace coming in the middle there, and then we have the one new man which was given, okay? And when the dispensation of grace is over, the one new man will be taken out of here, okay? That is, the church, the body of Christ, will be taken out of here. A lot of people that don't see the one, when the one one new man was given, they cannot see when the one new man is taken out. Okay, now that's the problem, all right? The Paul said this is a mystery, all right? And he doesn't want you to be ignorant of this mystery. All right, one day the church, the body of Christ, is going to be raptured out of here. Now the New Covenant Church, the church that was started in Acts chapter 2, the New Covenant Church will go through the tribulation, but not the church, the body of Christ, okay? The church, the body of Christ, is a unique body, and it will be taken out of here before then, all right? So what we have here is we have the one new man, or the he, taken out of the way, and then we have the Antichrist being revealed, then we have the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are two separate events, okay? They are not the same. Now, what I want you to do, all right, let's go to... All right, let's go to the book of Jude. I want to show you something. All right, let's go to the book of Jude. All right, I want you to notice here, and we're going to be talking about something here, talking about salvation for just a second. All right, I want you to notice in Jude chapter 23. Excuse me, it doesn't have any chapters. Verse 23. It says, "And others... save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Okay? Now, I want you to notice here it says, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. All right? What does that mean? All right? Well, when you go out there and you share Christ with someone, you're pulling them out of the fire. Okay? Now, whether they know it or not, whether you know it or not, all right, at the end of someone's life, if they do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, guess what they have waiting for them? They have the fire, okay? In other words, they will descend into hell, and then one day they'll be pulled out of hell, judged, and then cast into the lake of fire. So what we have here is, if you win somebody to Christ, all right, you're pulling them out of the fire, all right, because that's where they're headed. They're headed towards the fire. So this is the expression that Jude used about winning souls to Christ, pulling them out of the fire, okay? Now, for instance, I'll ask you a question. Well, were you pulled out of the fire? Now, I was pulled out of the fire. One day, I mean, I was headed toward the fire, and I realized Jesus Christ died and paid for my sins, and I realized I needed a Savior, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And someone led me to Christ, and they pulled me out of the fire. Now, I've actually didn't even go into the fire, but I was pulled out of the fire because that's where I was headed. All right, do you understand that concept, okay? If you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going into the fire. And if you trust Christ as your Savior, you were pulled out of the fire. That's what he's trying to tell us here. Now, I want you to go to Revelation. All right? Now, in Revelation, all right, at the... I want you to go to chapter 4. Now, a lot of people think Revelation, the book of Revelation, is all future stuff, okay? Well, the book of Revelation is not all future, okay? I want you to notice, and I'll tell you what, go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 says, verse 19, all right? The Lord's talking through the angel to John. He says... Verse 19, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." So he tells him, he says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Well, the things that he has seen was talking about the seven stars and the candlesticks and stuff, the things that he had seen, all right? And he says, "The things which are," and he starts talking to the churches, all right, the seven churches of Asia. Now, these are Jewish churches. Now, I want you to go back up into verse 11. He says, "Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." So the Lord told him, he says, what you see, I want you to write it down in a book, and I want you to send it to the seven churches. Now I got a question for you. Did John send it to the seven churches? Did John write down what he saw and send it to the seven churches? Well, of course he did. Okay, he sent it to somebody. Did John go, who are you talking about, Lord? What seven churches? You know, John knew exactly what was going on. Okay. And the Lord told him to send it to the seven churches, and he did. And so Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 is dealing with the seven churches of Asia. All right. And these are the things which are. And then we have in Revelation chapter 4, notice in verse 1. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. All right? So what we have here is we have the angel is about to show John the things which are going to be hereafter. In other words, the things that are the future don't even start until Revelation chapter 4. Now, at the beginning of chapter 4, we have the scene up in heaven, and the Lord's about to open the book with the seven seals and all this kind of stuff, and we see these things going on, and these seals are poured out upon the earth, and so the tribulation is starting. Okay? Then John is looking upon the earth, and he's seeing all these things that are going on. All right? Notice in Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, or on the sea, or on any tree. So what we have here is, we have John looking upon the earth. Okay? And he's writing down the things that he sees. But I want you to notice in verse 9, okay? In verse 9, he looks back up at the throne. Watch what he sees. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. All right. Now, I want you to understand what John is looking at here. He's looking at a multitude that no man could number. And this multitude is made up of not just Jews. Okay. It's he says here, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, they stood before the throne. Now, I want you to understand here that they cannot be numbered. Now, in Revelation chapter 7, if you notice in verse 4, and I heard a number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So he goes on to name the 144,000 of the tribes there. So we know it's not the 144,000 that's up in heaven at the throne, okay? Because you can count them, and they're just Jews, the Bible says. But the multitude he sees up in heaven, now remember, this is at the beginning of the tribulation. Okay? This is before the Antichrist is revealed, all right, and before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. John looks up in heaven and he sees his multitude. All right? Now watch. Verse 9, one more time. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, now this is, watch what's going on here. Verse 13 is very important, okay? One of the elders asked him and said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Okay? So this is what the elder asked John. He goes, who are these people? Who is this multitude that you see here? They're all in white robes and wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Okay? Who are they, and where did they come from? You know what John says? Verse 14. I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All right? Now, let me explain something to you. John did know who these people were. Okay? Now, John knew when the children of Israel were going to be resurrected. They're going to be resurrected on the last day. But while the tribulation's going on, he's looking up in heaven, okay? And they got this multitude that's already there, okay? Now, John didn't see him go up in there. He was looking on the earth, okay? He was looking upon the earth, and then he turns back and he looks up at the throne, and they're already there, okay? And the elder asked him, who are they and how did they get here? And John says, thou knowest. I don't know, okay? He says, these are they which have come out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. All right? Now, let me explain to you. A lot of people, they read this verse and they say, oh, well, these people went through the great tribulation. Let's read it again because that's not what it says. All right? These are they which came out of great tribulation. Okay? Does it say, these are they which went through great tribulation? No, it says they came out of great tribulation. Let me explain something to you, people. All right? The tribulation is headed our way, whether we like it or not. Okay? And it's not going to be stopped. Okay? It is at the appointed time. Go to the book of Daniel. All right? In Daniel. All right? In Daniel chapter 11, notice in verse 27, it says, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, and it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Okay? Now, people, I'll explain something to you. The end already has an appointed time. We are headed toward the tribulation, whether we like it or not. Notice in verse 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Okay? In other words, the end has already been established. Okay? God knows exactly when the end is coming. He knows exactly when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And you know, that's amazing. All right? The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't even know when He's coming back. The angels don't know when He's coming back. Nobody knows the day or the hour but the Father. Let's go to the book of Mark. All right. Mark chapter 13. I want you to notice. Let's go to verse 30. It says, verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Okay? Only the Father knows the day and the hour the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. So if some man comes up to you and he says, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back at such and such a day, at such and such a time, he's a liar. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't even know when he's coming back. How is a man going to know? All right? God hadn't even revealed it unto the angels. He hadn't revealed it unto his Son. Okay? So if the only person that knows is God the Father, a man and it isn't going to know. But the Bible says it is at the time appointed. Okay? So what we have here is the tribulation is going to be at the time appointed. All right? It's coming. All right? It is somewhere out there in the future. It is headed our way. Every day is one day closer. And if you don't get taken out of here, all right, you are going through the tribulation. All right? But as it says in the book of Jude, all right, talks about pulling them out of the fire. If you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all right, what happens to you? You get pulled out of the fire. Even though you didn't actually go into the fire, you pulled out of the fire because you were headed toward it. Same thing with these people here. Let's go to the book of Revelation, verse 7 again. He says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let me explain something to you, people. All right? Abraham's bosom is not going up into heaven. Okay? They will be resurrected to this earth when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the second coming of Christ. But before Jesus Christ comes back, John looks up in heaven and he sees a great multitude up there that no man can number. All right? That's a lot of people. Okay? So who are they? Some people say, oh, those are people that went through the tribulation. No, it ain't. Okay? Because those people that go through the tribulation and that are saved, they won't be resurrected till the second coming of Christ. These people are up in heaven at the beginning of the tribulation period. All right? Who are they? How do they get there? Well, I'm telling you right now, it is the one new man that was taken out of the way before the Antichrist is revealed. All right? Just like it says in 2 Thessalonians, he says, he shall be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. That he is the one new man. They're taking up into heaven. All right? The church, the body of Christ, and the church, the body of Christ, will come back down with the Lord Jesus Christ at the second coming of Christ. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians, back in verse 12 again, chapter 3, verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, once again, in order for those saints to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ, they have got to get up there somehow, some way. Okay? The book of Revelation tells us at the beginning of the tribulation period, there is a multitude up there, all right, that no man could number, of every kindred, every nation, every tongue, all right? And the church, the body of Christ today, is made up of just that. The church is not just Jews, okay? The church, the body of Christ, is not just Jews. It's Jew and Gentile. Every kindred, every tongue, every nation, can anybody that trusts Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior can be a member of the church, the body of Christ. And one day, the redemption of our bodies will take place, and the Lord's going to take us up into heaven. And you know what? One day, we're going to come back down with Him. All right? Now, a lot of people believe that the church, the body of Christ, has an eternal heavenly inheritance. But I've already showed you scripture that the saints are going to come back with the Lord, okay? Because the Lord says he's given them an opportunity to reign with Christ. Now, I want you to notice back in let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 17. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right? So what we have here is that the Bible says we're going to, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So wherever the Lord goes, that's where we're going. When the Lord comes to get us, we go up into heaven. We're up there for 7 years, and we come back down with Him, and that is where we're going to be. When the New Jerusalem comes down at the end of the thousand-year reign, we're going to be in the New Jerusalem with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just the way it is, people. Now, I want to show you something. All right? There's going to be another resurrection. All right? I've already showed you the rapture. Okay, let's look at this chart right here on the board. Okay, on the screen. All right, I want you to look at this chart and I want you to see the rapture. Now, I've already showed you where the one new man gets raptured out of here before the 7 years of tribulation. At the end of the tribulation or the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ, at the second coming, there's going to be another resurrection there, okay? Or it's called the first resurrection. Now, the church, the body of Christ, we are dead with Christ, we are raised with Christ. That's already happened. We're the first fruits, people. So the resurrection at the second coming is called the first resurrection. But there's going to be another resurrection, okay, at the end of the thousand-year reign, okay? Now, I want to take you to that one. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Excuse me, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, I want you to notice in verse 11, okay? Now, I want you to understand this is after the thousand years reign of Christ. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, it says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So what we have here is, we have another resurrection, okay? People are going to be raised up from the dead. Now I want you to notice, in verse 13 it says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So we have the sea, we have death, and we have hell delivering up dead people, okay? And these people are going to be judged. Now, a lot of people out there believe this is just a judgment seat of the lost. Okay? Well, I'm here to tell you right now, this is not just the judgment seat of the lost. Okay? These people, there's going to be people here that are going to be resurrected. All right? And some of them are going to have life. Okay? And a lot of people are going, no, that's just lost people. No, it's not either. Okay, and I'm going to show you that. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us so. Now watch. I want you to go to I want you to go to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5. All right. In John chapter 5, I want you to notice in verse 28. John chapter 5, verse 28, he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Okay? So what we have here is we have the Lord Jesus Christ telling us that there's going to be a resurrection here. And this resurrection is going to have two different people in it. It's going to have some people that have done good, which will come unto the resurrection of life. And there's going to have some that come unto the resurrection of damnation. All right, but I want to show you something here in verse 28 again. Let's put it back on the screen. It says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Okay, notice it says all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Okay, so in other words, everyone in the graves are going to hear his voice. All right, in other words, this is going to be the final resurrection, okay, that he's talking about here. All right, let me explain to you. Now, at the rapture, who's going to be resurrected? I mean, who's going to have their bodies redeemed? All right, is it going to be lost people? No, it's just going to be saved people. It's just going to be the church, the body of Christ. They're going to go up at the end of the dispensation of grace, right there before the tribulation period, and they're going to go up into heaven. Okay? So that's not talking about the rapture. All right? Now, at the second coming of Christ, who's going to be resurrected then? Well, it's not the lost people, okay? The only people resurrected then are the believers, okay? Abraham's bosom is the children of Israel going to be resurrected. Are lost people going to be resurrected at the second coming of Christ? No, they are not, okay? There's only going to be saved people resurrected at the second coming. Now watch, let's go back to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, all right, now we've already read verse 4. Now I want you to read, we're going to read verse 5 again. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, it says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Okay? Notice it says here, that but the rest of the dead, okay? In other words, everybody that's left, the rest of the dead, they won't live until after the 1,000 years is finished. All right. So what we have here is Jesus Christ is talking about a resurrection to where some people are going to be resurrected unto life. Some people are going to be resurrected unto damnation. This happens at the end of the 1,000-year reign. It's called the White Throne Judgment. There's going to be people there that have done good and they're going to be resurrected unto life. Now, I want you to notice in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 again, it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, I want you to notice that these people are judged according to their works. Okay? Jesus Christ says, if they did good, they would become unto the resurrection of life. If they did evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. So what we have here is some people back in the Old Testament, they were not saved saved by grace through faith like we are today, okay, they were judged according to their works, according to their deeds, just as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 2. Let's go there. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Okay, now Paul's talking about time past, and he says, verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Now watch verse 6. "Who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them by patient continuance and well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. But for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." So what we have in time past, okay, in time past, God was judging people of whether they were good or not, okay? God was judging them according to their deeds. But today, watch what Paul says. Notice in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, it says in verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, what I want you to look on the screen again, and what I want to do is show you another chart, and I want to show you on this chart, it talks about in time past, to the left over there, and then it says, "But now," that's the dispensation of grace, and then the ages to come, which is on your right-hand side over there. So what we have is different time periods in this Bible, okay? In Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about in order for people to have salvation, have eternal life, okay, they were judged by their works, okay? He says so. They were judged according to their deeds. But he says in verse 21 again, chapter 3, verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." See, we are living today, people, during the dispensation of the grace of God. During this dispensation of grace, God has given us the church, the body of Christ, or it's called the one new man in the book of Ephesians, okay? And this one new man, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're out there today and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be saved by grace through faith. All right? Go to Romans chapter 6. I want to show you something. Now, I showed you in Romans chapter 2 where Paul said them that did the law would be justified. Okay? Now, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, he says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now, I got a question for you people. Are you under the law today, or are you under grace? Well, according to the Holy Scriptures, you're under grace. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 8 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So what we have today is we have salvation by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your salvation is not based upon what you do, people. It's based upon who you put your trust in. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All right, I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now, if you're out there watching this video and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, let me show you how easy it is. Now watch. In Romans chapter 10, I want you to notice in verse 9 it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're out there today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, please ask Jesus Christ to save you and get saved today. Remember, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.